We see the advance of wickedness around us, and no doubt behind every power of evil, there is the devil at work. And it would seem that Satan is advancing as he wishes, the wannabe God of this world. That's his mission. That's his goal, to conquer and have complete dominion over the affairs of this world. And wherever he sees the church, wherever he sees God's people, and that's the church, God's people, redeemed, bought by the blood, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, through his word, there Satan is attacking. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, and today the message is to be girt with truth. We are to be Christian soldiers standing for the truth. And as we put on this piece of armor, we are able to stand for the Lord and be good witnesses for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And I trust that we will, by God's grace, stand, and having done all, to stand for the Lord. Leave It to God is our final little message today, and it's really a poem, Leave It to God. And there is the rest that we find both in our walk and in our work for the Lord, and we just leave the outcome to God. Do the right, serve him faithfully, obey his word, pray, preach, plead the blood, witness to men, and leave it to God. The will of the Lord will be done, and we will stand before one God one day, rewarded for being faithful servants unto him. We have a hymn as well, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And of course, that's a good question to ask. Am I fighting the battle, or have I laid down and made a picnic out of being a Christian? We're not on a picnic. We're in a battle. We're in the enemy territory, and the devil is assaulting us on all sides. And as we seek to advance the kingdom of God, we're going to find the awful havoc and the harassment of the wicked one. Praise God, he's defeated. Praise God, he has lost all of his power except for that which the Lord permits. And it's the will of God in this world that we be victors and overcomers. And we need to take that position that we are indeed soldiers of the cross. Now, just a point here on Romans chapter 5. What does it mean to glory in tribulations also? Let me just rehearse this a little bit and point this out. Well, it says in verse 3 of Romans 5, verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. These are present tribulations that befall believers in this world. We're not talking about a great tribulation day where the church will be in the midst and all will be gone. That's not what the Bible's teaching here, and I doubt if it teaches that anywhere. Christians will be in the midst of tribulation. The Lord Jesus said that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And these present tribulations, these oppositions that come against the Christian, well, they are meant to test us, to try us, but they will also, in a certain way, bless us. One has said that tribulation will blight a professor of justification, but will bless a possessor of justification. And if you have grace in your heart and Christ in your heart, and you find the opposition of darkness, well, it will send you into battle, make you to put on the armor and to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's what we suffer for not sinning and refusing to walk in the ways of the world. These tribulations, they come when the hope of glory and the child of God can face these present trials of life. There is the underlying assurance that whether it be troubles without the body or in the body, our salvation is certain. And that's the message that we have here in Romans chapter 5. Our salvation is certain. Death no longer holds the same terror. Earthly losses are but temporary crosses for the person who has this standing in grace. In this book of Romans, we have Abraham held up as a great example of a Christian enduring affliction. Through the folly of his family, Terah, his father, held him back at Haran. And it wasn't until his father died that he was able to press on to serve God with freedom. And during those years, he endured. And what oppositions he may have had to endure at that time. Through the burden of business, his riches, his wealth, and through the backsliding of Lot, problems with Lot going to Sodom, this all caused great grief and struggle for God's servant. And likewise today, the child of God struggles against the oppositions of men, the carnality of men, the worldly-mindedness of men. And it's difficult to get those who will stand and go along with you to serve God. And the Lord has told us that in this world we shall suffer tribulation, but be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. Praise God. That's the ground that the Christian stands on. And we move now to this hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Are then the foes for me to face? Must I not stand the flood? Is this the world a friend to grace, to help me unto God? Sure I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word.
Going back to Ephesians 6, the text, the verses that I was assigned to preach is Ephesians 6, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Two items of armor for the Christian. The loins girt about with truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I don't think I'm going to get to the breastplate of righteousness today, maybe another time, but we certainly need to take a look at this very weapon of truth that God has provided for us. We all ask the question from time to time, is there really any future for the gospel preaching church? We see the advance of wickedness around us, and no doubt behind every power of evil, there is the devil at work. And it would seem that Satan is advancing as he wishes, the wannabe God of this world. That's his mission. That's his goal, to conquer and have complete dominion over the affairs of this world. And wherever he sees the church, wherever he sees God's people, and that's the church, God's people, redeemed, bought by the blood, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory, through his word, there Satan is attacking. And around the world, in generation after generation, indeed century after century, there has been this awful, vicious, hellish work of the devil seeking to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. You only have to read the events of the first century to know about the catacombs where Christians had to go underground. And century by century, there have been repeat times when Christians had to go into hiding. The underground church is a very familiar term to us, but I don't think we've ever experienced it ourselves. Some who have come from Eastern Europe and Russia under communism and such regimes have known that there have been attempts to obliterate every reference to God, to church, to Christ, to the truth of the Bible. And of course, there's been those more insidious, subtle attempts to destroy the church by attacking from within. Is there any future then for the church? Well, look at history. Just look at how the church has survived 20 centuries of witnessing in the world. And thank God the church has not retreated. It didn't retreat into Judea and Samaria, but it advanced in the Roman world. And even by probably around 100 AD, where the Roman Empire was conquering as far as Great Britain, the gospel went along with it. It's been often said that the Greeks wrote the language in which the gospel was to be preached, and the Romans built the roads by which it would be traveled. And then various empires that have arisen, and you read of kings and queens who were Christians, who loved the Bible, many men who ruled over nations, who were won to the gospel. And sometimes in missionary endeavor were chiefs of tribes and peoples. They were brought to Christ, and their witness became very mighty and effective. And I think we have learned of something of that in Nepal of recent times, the advance of the gospel through the chief leaders, and God has used that in a mighty way. Now, that's not to say that the devil's dead or the devil has stopped attacking and we can forget about his vicious attempts. Here in Ephesians 6, it talks about the wiles of the devil, and the language there is the methods of the devil. He has methods, he has wily, subtle means and schemes by which he works. But there is one answer to the question, is there a future for the church? And that is Calvary. I want to turn you to the book of Colossians, chapter 2, and to verse 14 and 15. And here, I believe, is the answer to the question, is there any future for the Bible-preaching gospel church? Here we read of our Lord Jesus on the cross. Verse 14 ends with nailing it to his cross. There is Calvary. And verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. Now, Ephesians 6 talked a lot about principalities and powers of the air, the hellish, wicked angels at work. And here at Calvary, the Lord Jesus spoiled. That means he stripped away these principalities or rulers of darkness. He denuded them of their power and their authority so that they cannot have dominion over the whole world and over men's minds and hearts. And the Lord, by his triumph, you'll notice that word comes up there in the verse 15, he made a show of them openly, triumphing, conquering. And so the good news for every Christian here today and for all who would join with the church of the Lord Jesus is that Satan has already been conquered. And we as believers and disciples of the Lord Jesus are entering into not just a battle, yes, it is a battle, but it's the victory that has already been accomplished for the church of the Lord Jesus. And we are no longer serving King Satan, we are serving King Jesus. He is King. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And to him every knee will bow and every tongue confess, and that includes the devil. Now we read there in Revelation 12 that he comes down and he works viciously because he knows his time is short. There's an hour coming when the King of Glory will come and he will cast out the devil into darkness forever and ever, and he will be destroyed, and he will no longer rule over any. He will be totally, totally stripped of all position and power, and bound and put away forever. Praise God, that's the future that we see revealed in the Bible. So it gives great hope to us. It gives great future to us. Now, notwithstanding all that, it still means that while we have been delivered from the kingdom of Satan and his dominion, we're still in the territory where the battle rages. And we're subject to temptations, attacks, and accusations of the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he will come to your mind and heart and seek to discourage you. He will tell you that you're not worthy. He'll tell you that you're the worst sinner ever. And our answer is, you're right. You're right. But we have a Savior from our sins. And that's where now we must come with the truth. Because the devil utilizes the lie. That's his weapon. Deceit and lies and accusations that are false. And God now has given us a weapon to defend ourselves and to serve him. And that weapon is the truth. Now, how are we going to use it? Some Christians don't bother using it. And some use it very little. But I would underline that we would be fools not to use the weapon, the means of protection God has given. So let's come to this text now, Ephesians 6, verse 14, and try and pick up what the Apostle Paul is saying here in this whole picture, this whole analogy of the soldier. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, in this, we need to understand the picture that the apostle is drawing. The context, the setting, is Paul in prison. Night and day he is chained to a Roman soldier. He is not in a common prison. He's in a house under detention, and he's being guarded by a Roman soldier day and night. And no doubt there would be chains of soldiers. They would have their shifts and they would take turns. And Paul would have ate with, slept with, sweated with more Roman soldiers than we would ever wish to see. And as he lived night and day with a Roman soldier in his full armor, he would have studied and looked at the various pieces. And with a gospel mind, the apostle would say, hey, what I see in the Roman soldier parallels with what a Christian ought to do. And the first thing, this is the first item that he picks up on here, this item of girding up the loins with truth. And what he's seeing in the soldier is a long tunic. It was a very dignified robe. It made him set him apart from the average Roman. It was an honor to wear it. A Roman soldier would have worn that tunic with great pride. And he would have worn it, of course, against the elements. It would have been a very suitable coat or tunic that would protect him from the elements. And Paul looked at that. But when a Roman soldier goes into battle, it doesn't have the long flowing garb of that tunic. He rolls up the bottom part of that robe and tucks it under his belt. And by some means he would secure that so his legs would be free for battle, that he would be agile and able to take on the enemy without hindrance. And Paul would have watched the Roman soldier do this, rolling up his tunic, putting it under his belt. And then he would say, we are to take God's truth. And how does he word it here? Then let's get to the wording. Stand therefore, having your loins girt, girded,
girdled, belted, about with truth. With truth. Now, what is this truth? That becomes the big question. And I must say that in studying this, I've read a whole lot of ideas of what this truth is. There's general truth. There's science and knowledge that's growing every day. Is that the truth? Is it discernment and wisdom that we might be given, where we are able to make right decisions at the right time? That's truth. Is it a collection of man's wisdom over experience? Or is it the revelation of the Bible? Is that the truth that he's referring to here? And so, in looking at this, we all have to grapple and comprehend, what is this truth? What's the nature of this truth? It can't just be the whole volume of all possible truth in the world that's accumulated, some encyclopedia of knowledge. So what is this truth? How can we grasp this? We cannot afford to speculate. I don't want your opinion and say, well, I think I've got an idea what this truth is. We don't want your opinion, and you don't want my opinion. And so as we come to this, we have to wrestle with to understand what is this truth that is to be girding our minds. How do we answer this? If we don't know the answer, how can we call ourselves Bible students? Well, the safe thing to do in a situation like this is to go by the context. The context helps us to understand the nature of this truth. Now, there is the immediate context, the verse before and after, and there's also the greater context, which is the whole book of Ephesians. Because when Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, it was one document, one letter. And he would have set out at the beginning, knowing the things he wanted to say, and he would start it with this and built up on it and built up on it until he would get to chapter 6, and he would talk about truth. And so our understanding of truth here would be the same as his reference to truth in other parts of this epistle, Ephesians. Now, truth comes up in Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted, after ye heard the word of truth. The word of truth. So it's not feelings of truth. We can eliminate that one. It's not a subjective emotion. It's a word of truth. And then it goes on to say, and thankfully it really defines the thing for us. And it says, the gospel of your salvation. And so this armor that the apostle's talking about, this girding up of the loins, is the gospel. The essential elements of how a man, woman, boy, or girl is saved from their sin and made right with God. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. Now, the girding up of our minds is related here to believing. And the way to make this truth work in your life, the way to make this gospel of salvation effective in your life against the devil, we've always got the devil in the background here. He's the enemy. He's the liar. He's the one that to bring you down and discourage you and tear you away from your commitment to Christ. This gospel, you must believe it. Believing now is the rolling up of your loins, or the tunic as the soldier did. Now, this is spiritual for you and me. For the Roman soldier, it was physical. He had a real armor, he had a real tunic, and he actually did this in real terms in his own body. But as you sit in church and you hear the Bible being preached, I don't have to give out Roman tunics for you to do this. What you are to do here is spiritual. It's something in your mind and in your heart, and you are to believe the truth of salvation. And the wonderful thing is, first of all, God has a way of salvation.
He hasn't left you to perish. He hasn't left you to the jaws of the lion, the devil, to be destroyed and taken to hell. God has a way of saving your soul. Well, we are in a battle, aren't we, to serve the Lord in these days when Satan seeks to be the God of this world. Proud man seeks to deny the truth of God, and God's word is rejected and reviled. And those who preach it, well, men think that we are but fools. But of course, we're fools for Christ's sake, and we trust in him to go before us. Here's a little poem by Grenville Kleiser on Leave It to God. Does the path seem rough and steep? Leave it to God. Do you sow but fail to reap? Leave it to God. Yield to him your human will, listen humbly and be still. Love divine your mind can fill. Leave it to God. Is your life an uphill fight? Leave it to God. Do you struggle for the right? Leave it to God. Though the way be drear and long, sorrow will give place to song. Good must triumph over wrong. Leave it to God. If in doubt just what to do, leave it to God. He will make it plain to you. Leave it to God. Serve him faithfully today. He will guide you all the way. Simply trust him, watch and pray. Leave it to God. And may we learn to do that. May we learn to take every problem and every battle to the Lord and let the outcome be God's perfect will for us. He is wise and he's almighty. And praise God, he's in control. And as Christians who believe in the sovereignty of God, that he's there controlling and rescuing his people from evil, that he will take care of us. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Rest in that, my beloved, and may the Lord be your portion today. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m., for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.